Das kann so sein, dass ich mich fragen, wenn man sich das Geduschen dann einen Test.
Sagt der Mischner, wenn man instruct der Stich to find a husband for and accept Geduschen for his daughter, and the father then himself went and accept Geduschen for his daughter, if the father accepted Geduschen before the Stich did, the father's Geduschen is effective. If the Stich accepted it first, then the Stich's Geduschen is effective. It's not known whose was first. She has to receive a guest from each of those men who gave Geduschen if she wants to marry a different man. If they want, one can give a get, and the other can then marry her. Similarly, if a woman instructed her shliach to find a husband and accept kedushin on her behalf, and the woman herself then went and accepted kedushin, if she accepted kedushin before the shliach did, her kedushin is effective. The shliach accepted first, and it's the shliach's kedushin that is effective. If it's not known whose was first, she has to receive a get from each of the men who gave kedushin if she wants to marry a different man. If they want, one can give a get, and the other can then go ahead and marry her. The Gemara explains both of these Mishnahs, both cases in the Mishnah are needed. Why, if we would only say the first case, we would think that in that case, the father, when the father accepts kedushin on his own, he means to make it, to take away the authority of the shliach, because men know how to search for yichas, and he feels he found a match with good yichas. However, a woman does not feel competent to deal with matters of yichas, and therefore, when she accepts kedushin on her own, maybe she's accepting it conditionally in case the shliach doesn't find a good match for her. If we would only have the second case, we would think that a woman is more careful to check out who she's marrying, and therefore, in that case, her acceptance is meant to be mevatel the authority of the shliach. However, when the father accepts kedushin, he only does so conditionally in case the shliach doesn't find a suitable match. That's why we need both cases. Itmar, if a father accepted kedushin for his daughter when he was on the road, and the daughter that accepted kedushin on her own behalf in the city later that day, and we check her and we find that she's a begaris, Rav says, since she's now known to be a begaris, and we therefore can assume she's a begaris the entire day, and her father's kedushin is therefore invalid. Shmuel says we have to be concerned that she wasn't a begaris at the time that her father accepted kedushin for her, and therefore we have to be concerned for both kedushin. What's the case, Machlekes? If it was within the 6 months after she became a naira at 12 years old, so how could Rav assume that she was a begaris in the morning, since most girls don't become a begaris until 12 and a half. If it's after the 6 months, why would Shmuel be concerned for the kedushin of the father? He says the girl becomes a begaris at 12 years and a half and 6 months. The Gemara says the case is on the last day of that 6 months. Rav says, since we see that now she's a begaris based on Simon, we can assume that she was a begaris all day, since it's the day that she is destined to become a begaris anyway. Shmuel says, since she didn't bring Simon until later in the day, we cannot assume that she was a begaris earlier in the day. Reacting what Mishnah says, if a mikveh is found to be possible, everything that went to the mikveh from the last time it was checked is considered to be tameh. We see that we assume that it's the way we found it, it's the way it's been. If so, why does Shmuel say that she is not assumed to be a begaris? I said the case of the mikveh is different because the tameh item has a cheskes tumah. Why don't we instead follow the chazaka of the mikveh, which has a chazaka that it was measured and had the proper amount of water? The Gemara says, right now we measured it, it's missing water, so we can't follow the chazaka. If so, we should say the same thing on the girl. Right now she's a begaris, and therefore we should treat her as being a begaris earlier in the day also. The Gemara says, we say that she first became a begaris now when she was checked. Well, so why don't we say that regarding the mikveh as well? The Gemara says, the mikveh has two problems, and which tell us to treat the mikveh as tameh. The items have a cheskes tumah, and the mikveh is currently not valid. The father's kedushin has only one issue. The girl was now found to be a begaris. Therefore, we still have to be concerned for the father's kedushin. Fleck the Gemara. Bryce says, if someone used a barrel of wine for truma and then finds this barrel to become vinegar, which can't be used as truma for wine, so for 3 days it's considered as certain vinegar. But beyond that, it's considered as a suffix whether it was wine or vinegar. But Hanina from Surya explained that this follows of Shimon, and the Rabbanon hold, however, that the barrel is considered to have been vinegar all along, just like in the case of mikveh, which is thought to be missing water all along. If so, why does Shmuel say it's not assumed? She's not assumed to be a begaris? You see, you follow the way it is all. We assume it's the way it was all along. Mar says the case is different because the produce for which the truma was separated has a cheskas tevel. Why don't we instead say we follow the chazaka of the barrel, which at one time was checked and was found to have wine? Mar says right now we have vinegar, so we can't follow the chazaka of the cheskas yayin. If so, we should say the same thing with the girl. Right now she's a begaris, and therefore we should treat her as being a begaris earlier as well. Mara said, we say that she first became a begaris now when she was checked. Why don't we say the same thing regarding the barrel as well? Mara said, the case of the barrel has two problems, which tells us to treat the items as tevel. Number one, it's cheskes tevel. Number two, it's right now vinegar. The father's kedushin has only one issue. The girl is now found to be a begaris. Therefore, we have to still be concerned for the father's kedushin. Maybe we can say that the machlokes between Rav and Shmuel is actually machlokes among Tanomim. The Braisa says that the case of a person who gave away all his possessions, I mean, if a deathly ill person gives away his possessions and then gets better, the gifts become void. If a healthy person gives away his gifts, they're effective. And it was unknown whether when he gave away his possessions, was he ill or healthy at the time of the gifts. Rav Yaakov says he keeps his possessions, and the recipients have to bring a proof to show that he was healthy at that time if they want to keep the possessions. Rav Nosson says if he's now healthy, he has to bring a proof that he was ill at the time of the gift. If he's now ill, they have to bring a proof that he was healthy at the time of the gift. Maybe we can say that Rav holds like Rav Nosson or Shmuel holds like Rabbi Yaakov. Mar says no. Rav would say he could even hold like Rabbi Yaakov. He would say that Rabbi Yaakov holds like that over there only because he says that we keep the money by the person who has the chazaka on the money. But with regard to the girl, since it's the last day of 6 months, we can't say that there's a chazaka that she's not a begaris. Also, Shmuel would say that he can even hold like Rabbi Nosson. He would say that Rabbi Nosson holds like that over there because we say that all people have a chazaka that they're healthy until proven otherwise. However, in the case of the girl, we could very well have a naira in the morning and a begaris in the afternoon. So Mara tries again. Maybe we can say the machlokes in Rav Shmuel's machlokes among different tannaim regarding the case of where a father accepted kedushin for her in the morning when he was on the road, and she accepted kedushin for herself later on in that day in the city, and she was found to be a begaris. One brisa says since she's now a begaris, we're not concerned for the father's kedushin. Another brisa says we have to be concerned for the father for both kedushin. Presumably, we can say that one brisa follows Rav, another brisa follows Shmuel. Mara says no, we can say that both brisas follow Shmuel. The first brisa is discussing where she says that she already saw herself as being a begaris in the morning. The second brisa is discussing where she doesn't say that. So maybe we can say that Rav and Shmuel actually are not arguing. Maybe Rav is referring to a case where she says that she was a begaris in the morning, and Shmuel is not referring to that case where she hadn't said that. But I said this can't be, because we find that Shmuel was upset at Rabbi Yosef, the son of Menashe of Deville, who passed like Rav. Mari ends off, Marzutra told Rav Ashi that a Maimer passed like Shmuel, however Rav Ashi passed like Rav. And the Gemara says, we passed like Rav. Zok, the next Mishnah, a man went overseas with his wife and returned sometime later with his wife and children and said, this is the wife that I married before I went overseas, so these are the children. He does not have to bring a proof about the wife or regarding the children for the Yichus, because the wife was checked before he married her, and the children will be explained in the Gemara. If he returns with the children and says, my wife died overseas and these are her children, he has to bring proof regarding the Yichus of the children, but not regarding the Yichus of the wife. If he returns with a different wife and says, I married this woman overseas and these are her children, he has to bring proof regarding the Yichus of the woman, but not regarding the Yichus of the children. If he returns and says, I married a woman overseas but she died and these are her children, he has to bring proof about the wife and about the children. Zokdimar Rabbi Bar Avuna said, in all the cases of the Mishnah, they're discussing a case where the children tag along with the mother, and we can therefore assume they are her children. A brisa says, if a man comes and says, I married a woman overseas, and this is her, and these are her children, he has to bring proof of the yichas of the woman, does not have to bring proof regarding the yichas of the children. He has to bring proof of the yichas of the grown children, though, who don't tag along with the mother, but not for the young children. This is all true when he claims that he only had one wife. However, if he had said he had two wives, and one died, and he claims that the children that he brings belong to the wife that's still alive, he would have to bring proof regarding the yichas of the woman, and for the children, even for the young ones who tag along with her, because we're concerned that they tang along with her only because she raised them, but they're not in fact maybe her children, maybe they're from the woman who has passed away.